Well, we had the pleasure of chatting with my next guest a little over a year ago, and she is back with the award-winning For the People here today as we are meeting her out in the field in the Newtown area. Audrey Cole is the statewide Senior Medicare Patrol representative out of the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging, serving Waterbury and dozens of other municipalities in that Western District. However, as she just mentioned to me prior to recording, she is representing the entire state of Connecticut when it comes to the work she is doing. So, Audrey, let's just start, as we did, I think, the last time, talking a little bit about the integration and overlay between the Area Agency on Aging and your specific project and duties.
Thank you. It's a delight to be here again, John. So Senior Medicare Patrol is a federal program, and the federal dollars are sent to the state of Connecticut, the Connecticut Bureau of Aging, mm-hmm. and then they distribute it to the five area agencies on aging. So what the program does is we help protect, detect, and report Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. So I want everybody to know this is your program. Your dollars are paying for this. So it's available to you if you have a problem. If you're on Medicare and you have a problem, I want you to know that you should call us. I'll give you the statewide number. It's 1-800-994-9422. Now, people are a bit confused because Medicare is very complex. So we assist people in working out and understanding the type of Medicare they're on. For example, a lot of people don't know the difference between a Medicare Advantage plan and original traditional Medicare. Half my time, I'm educating people about what plan they're on, because in order for me to help with a dispute you may have, I have to know what that plan is. So when I use the word protect, that's like today I'm going to be going out and speaking at the Newtown Senior Center in detail about my program with one of my volunteers. So I want people to know about this program. I'm going to focus a bit today on the errors issue. Medicare fraud is very prevalent. There are tens of thousands of people on Medicare in the state of Connecticut who are also on Medicaid, and they're disabled. So you can be on Medicare between 18 and 64 if you have a disability, not just everyone 65 and older. So fraud is very clear. About 30% of my cases are out and out fraud. And I'll give you an example. For example, 2 years ago, the COVID-19 testing kits, people were getting a whole bunch of COVID-19 testing kits that they didn't order in the mail. And then when they looked at their Medicare summary notice, they were billing Medicare tens of thousands of dollars. Mm. That's clear fraud. That was 2 years ago. Right now, I handled 122 statewide, they're called complex cases that I handle, meaning I have to do research and investigation. Mm-hmm. So the two most common fraud cases happening right now are urinary catheters and diabetic supplies. So, for example, if you are not a diabetic and you read your Medicare summary notice, or if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan, your explanation of benefits, and you see that there are bills for diabetic supplies, for example, and you are not a diabetic, clear fraud needs to be reported to me immediately. And what I do is I take the details of your case, I get the documentation that you have on that, and then I will fax it to our local Medicare office, the region up in Boston, Massachusetts. If you call Medicare, you can tell them that your Medicare number's been compromised, and they will note that, but they will refer you to me in Connecticut to collect the documentation. The other one is catheters. So there are a lot of people who see that Medicare has been charged $8,000, $10,000. Oh. Catheters they never ordered, they didn't need. Those are the fraud cases. So have you ever had anybody come to talk to you, John, about an issue with Medicare, about a bill they thought was a bit fishy or wrong?
No, not specifically about Medicare issues. You know, once in a while, just in casual conversation, right. somebody will mention something seemed fishy with this or that. But I can't specifically think of any case where it was with either Medicare or a Medicare plan through a private provider.
Well, the most common issues and billing disputes, and by the way, I have to look at it and I'll say, I assume it's an error before it crosses over into fraud. Mm-hmm. Fraud's difficult to prove. It has to be intentional. Sure. So a lot of the cases I get are on the billing disputes, for example.
Sloppy, not criminal.
Right. People are on Medicaid, for example. And if you're on Medicaid in the state of Connecticut, especially if you're on the QMB program where everyone has that gray Connect card, that program pays your deductible, your Part B monthly premium, and your co-payments and so forth. You should not be getting separate bills from providers. You have to ask the provider, are you on Medicaid? I mean, you have to tell them you're on Medicaid. And then if they see you or if they don't see you, they cannot bill you any co-payments in Connecticut. So I, right now, I have 10 cases against one particular hospital system that has been billing the state Medicaid patients on the QMB program small amounts, $26, $40 here, $30 here. Those are what we call improper bills. We're trying to fix it because we think there's a glitch in their computer system. But if the state of Connecticut pays their person, let's say it's a $30 bill, and then they pay $3. That hospital is not allowed to turn around and send you a $27 bill, and they have been. Oh. And that's improper because...
So let me stop you there. So the individual is... or their caregiver or executor, what have you, they're astute enough to know that they're on a program that pays everything. So if they get a bill demanding to pay and they don't, just under the assumption, it's like, oh, this must be a mistake, you know, tear it up, throw it away,
put it in
a pile. No, I'm just saying if they have the bill. So I'm the recipient of the bill.
Right.
I know that the program I'm on pays for everything. This bill's obviously a mistake. I just put it in a pile or I toss it. Can the medical system actually start coming back at me for what might be that balance and maybe eventually a penalty or send me to collections?
Well, this provider, this hospital, their patient financial services have been making calls to beneficiaries and demanding payment and then threatening after three or four calls, if they don't make payment, it will be sent to collections. Mm-hmm. So I intervene and I tell them, well, you can't do this. It's improper. In effect, it's against federal and state law to do this. So if they don't clean up their act, I have the ability to report them for this, for what they're doing. I kind of feel if it's a consistent pattern, it does cross over into fraud on that. But I think a lot of times, so there are some hospital systems I've never gotten any issues. So I do feel that there's a glitch in their system on this. And so I'm working with them and I'm trying to fix it. So another interesting case is we had a woman who had a pain injection in her neck, and this was the only doctor that could help her. And she's on original traditional Medicare, and when you're on that and the provider thinks that Medicare won't pay the bill, they have to give you what's called advanced beneficiary notice saying, look, Medicare may not pay this. We aren't sure. If Medicare doesn't pay it, you may be responsible for, like, and they have to give the amount, $600. So this woman got a bill. I think it was for $600 for a pain injection. They didn't give the ABN, the Advanced Beneficiary Notice. Medicare wrote her, you aren't responsible for this bill.
Oh.
But she only liked this one provider.
Oh.
So she goes back to the provider. This happened in February a year ago, more than a year ago. She goes back to the provider in September. Same thing. This is the only pain injection that's helped her. Now they give her the advanced beneficiary notice, and she signs it, all right? So she may be responsible. They sent it to Medicare, and Medicare refused it. They said it wasn't medically necessary. So she called us and said, this is the only thing that helps my pain. How can this be the case? We investigated over 2 months. Come to find out. It's really interesting, the things that we learn, because I learn everything. It's a new thing every week there.
Sure.
Turns out that that particular injection has to be prior authorization with Medicare. It's very unusual. Most Medicare things don't need prior authorization. Okay. Even when we call Medicare, they said, wow, this is the first case where you the doctor should have called Medicare ahead of time to get it approved and get the proper codes on that case.
Okay.
There is, under this current administration, there is talk that they're going to have a pilot program in some states of there may be additional prior authorization cases. So always make sure when you speak to a provider and you get that where they say you may be responsible for the bill because Medicare's not going to pay for it. They said, is this one of those prior authorization deals? Do you have to call Medicare ahead of time and clear it? Because if you don't do it, a lot of times they won't let you do it retroactively.
So is it up to and would you hope that the provider would flag the patient that or is it incumbent on the patient to know this ahead of time and to advise the provider that they should call for potential prior authorization?
Well, most providers, especially the ones who in their business do this type of work all the time, they know those codes and that Medicare will pay for it. There are some certain situations where Medicare won't pay for it unless it's medically necessary. This doctor did an appeal. And I read his appeal letter. It was kind of saying, well, this is kind of experimental and stuff like that. And I said, well, that's not really saying it's medically necessary. I didn't think he did a good job on that letter. But the interesting thing is the more investigation we did, we found out it was a prior authorization issue. So I think the doctor should have known that. But because it's very unusual, the client who called us was so happy. She paid that bill for this past September, but I knew she may need more injections, so I wanted to clear this up. So I told her to make sure the doctor provider, when you get another injection, they call Medicare, they get the prior approval, and there are two codes that have to be put in on it. So we educated both the beneficiary and the provider on that case. Very unusual to get a case like that.
So what I'm hearing is it's no offense to or issue with a medical provider to be asked by a Medicare-covered patient whether or not they need to submit anything for prior authorization.
No.
Those who know and do it all the time will simply, as you just said, say no. They'll reassure the client or the patient.
Right.
In certain instances, perhaps even very narrow instances, it couldn't hurt to ask, to like put that question on your short list of questions to ask, especially if it's a new procedure or a new prescription.
Well, for example, the big heads up on that would be if someone asks you to sign one of those advanced beneficiary notices, we're saying if Medicare doesn't pay for it, you may be responsible.
Yeah.
Say right up front, would you call Medicare for prior authorization?
Oh, good.
You know, that's
the language.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the trigger mechanism is the request for the patient to sign, essentially to agree to pay if it's not covered.
Right, right. I mean, that'll give you a heads up that there may be a problem issue here on that or whatever. And finally, a really interesting case I had a few years ago was a woman called me. She was very annoyed. She didn't have any assistance. She paid her Part B monthly premium herself, and she had no Medicaid or whatever. She didn't even have a supplemental policy. So she was paying the 20% that Medicare wasn't paying. Mm-hmm. Medicare pays primarily 80% of your bills. So she called me. She said, Audrey, I'm getting all these little annoying bills, you know, every month. We have my husband is on hospice, and we have an electric bed that we got, and we pay a monthly rent for it.
Sure.
And she said, but the bills switch every month. 1 month is $20. Another time it's, you know, Medicare will say you don't have to pay any more than this. She goes, but 1 month it's $30. She goes, and it's been going on for almost 3 years now, and I just don't understand. Could you help me? So I had her send her Medicare summary notice. And she didn't, and right there on the Medicare summary notice, it says note A, and you go to the bottom of the paper, and it says it was the monthly rental fee for that electric bed. Medicare paid 80%. She was paying the 20% and the deductible. And it said right at the bottom, after 13 months, you own this bed. Uh-huh. So she'd been paying that, you know, $20, $30 improperly to a durable medical equipment company. So she was,
now owns a very expensive hospital bed.
Well, they aren't that expensive. Well, I had an example. My mother was in a wheelchair, and I did notice it was like $50 or $60 a month for several years. This was like 15 years ago. The wheelchair costs $200 if you bought it outright. So Medicare realized quite a few years ago that these rental situations were somewhat of a scam. After so many months, there's a law of diminishing returns, and right. So there's no point in paying a two and a half, the rental. Yeah. So after 13 months, you basically, that's the rental fee is basically the cost of the bed.
Got it.
So in that case, I was perfectly willing to fight to get that money back for her, but she was much more concerned with the health of her husband.
Of course.
She didn't want to fight it, but the bill stopped immediately.
Okay.
You know? So this is why it's so important. And unfortunately, I just found out in the last few weeks that now Medicare, you know the Medicare summary notices they send you? They used to come out quarterly. They're coming out only twice a year. So if you really are suspicious, sometimes people pick it up on their Medigap or supplemental plan. They see that they didn't pay a bill and they can say, well, hey, did Medicare pay this part of the bill? So, but if you have a Medicare.gov account, and by the way, our agency can help you if you aren't computer proficient, we can set up one of those accounts for you on your behalf.
Right.
So I know a lot of people don't like to have an account, but if you have a Medicare.gov account, you can go in there and look at your bills on a monthly basis.
Yeah, like a dashboard.
Right,
yes,
right,
yes.
Right. So, and you have any further questions, if you suspect a billing dispute or an error, or if you think, wait a minute, I didn't order any catheters or diabetic supplies, please call me, Audrey. I'm at 1-800-994-9422. And I hope to come back in a couple months and talk about Medicare Fraud Prevention Week happening in June.
And Audrey, is there also a website folks can go? Can folks go to the any area agency on aging and find a pass through to your department?
Yep. Yep. They have a senior Medicare patrol coordinator at all the area agencies on aging. If it's a complicated case, they will take down your information and they will send it to me on a confidential form.
Okay.
That they can do that. The statewide number is 1-800-994-9422, or if you want to call me directly at 203-757-5449 and ask for Audrey, I'll help you on anything you'd like.
Audrey Cole is Connecticut's senior Medicare patrol professional, based currently out of the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging, serving Greater Waterbury and many other abutting communities in the Western Connecticut area. We will talk to her again in just a couple of months. So if there is anything that you have heard on this program, I guess I should more appropriately say, if there's something related to Medicare that you didn't hear on this program, then please stay tuned. We'll have her back to fill in the blanks. Audrey, thank you so much.
Thank you. And everybody, enjoy this lovely weather.